This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Hey, listen to Wrestling Run Up on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. As always, I'm Grady, and live on Discord, we got Josh.
Hey!
We got NXT Vengeance Day this last weekend to have a bit of a chat about. We got AAA show coming up, and quite an important SmackDown as well to have a chat about, so a bit to go, but let's crack in with NXT. We had the street fight, Blake Munro, Jada Parker. We weren't sure what way it was going to go. We did tip that maybe Jada, the younger player, was going to get the win, but it was Blake Munro that came out with the victory.
Yeah. Again, it's all about where they want to go with it. And I think in the case of Jada, I think she's young enough and like not elevated enough on the card that she can still, like, later on still be pushed. Blake Munro is basically the top heel that is not our current champion. For the women. So it feels like they need to start like elevating her to get her ready to potentially have an NXT title reign, or just so that she's not flat when she hits the main roster if they decide that on the Raw or SmackDown after they want to call her up. That's something as well.
Yeah, I think there's a few options to go with Blake Munro. And this kind of does show that we're not going to use her, you know, specifically just to build these other talents, especially after she ended up losing her North American Championship. We weren't sure where she was going to go. She could end up back in that scene. There's still some juice left in that tank. We just got to figure out what path they all seem to have, because at the moment, both the North American Championship and the World Championship for the women are pretty locked into some feuds at the moment. And we've got a lot of women on the outskirts having feuds like this one with Blake and Jada, but also another feud with Lola Vice, Kalani Jordan. And we saw them go to their NXT Underground match at Vengeance Day and Lola knock out Kalani.
Yeah. It was fine. I mean, it's one thing I don't like about these matches is that is having like the fact that they take place in the ring. So you have to completely tear down the ring, pretty much, and then put it back together. It creates a jarring visual. I'd much rather it be like, as awful as that concept was, I'd rather it be like Raw Underground was in like a completely different room. That's so that it makes sense.
Yeah, it's fair. I think they probably tried to separate themselves from Raw Underground as much as possible, given how that went over. But I get it. I think in a case with this, where it was, you know, a 5-match card, taking one of the matches away and putting it up on a big screen for the live audience. But obviously a majority of their audience is television or video watchers, not live watchers. Definitely could go either way for sure, but looking at the two folks in the match, we said, you know, Lola Vice, it is her match. It's her match type. It makes sense that she was going to walk out with the victory. But Kalani, you know, didn't look like a slouch either in this match, and I think that's what's important when you do a match like this. It's not just completely one-sided.
And if you had to do it in front of the crowd, you could always bring back the fight pit that they use for like Ken Shamrock, and like use that as the underground matches, and just have them like you could have them on the stage, just so you don't tear down the ring. That's the thing. That, or put them in a cage. Just put a cage around the ring. And then you can make it a cage match. And just have them do whatever the heck they want. And that escaping the cage means nothing. The fight continues until somebody can't continue.
Yeah, all valid options for sure. I want to connect. You know, we had Blake Monroe, Jada Park, we had Lolovice, Kalani Jordan. And then now our Women's North American Championship, we saw Tatum Paxley and Izzy Dame. So we actually had three matches on this card for all the women. Tatum is our brand new champion. I guess not brand new, mostly new champion, capturing the title off of Izzy Dame. We hot potato it back.
Well, no, it is a brand new champion because she had the NXT championship. Not
that's true.
The North American championship. So, yeah. But, yeah, it is a brand new championship. I'm very happy for Paxley. I think she'll get an actual run. It's not going to be like a month like the North America, like the NXT championship was. I think I'm more interested in where she goes from here. But honestly, the match wasn't that good. There were definitely a lot of issues with it that looked off and stuff. But hey, Praxley's champion, kind of expected, and they need to do something with the culling or get rid of it. Because at this point, they've just been lackeys for Dame.
Yeah, it's kind of what I was going to bring up, right? You mentioned the match not flowing or maybe not connecting between the two of them. It's an interesting one. I did like the visuals of Izzy Dame prior to her joining the culling. I think she's lost a little bit of that. And yeah, Shawn Spears was an announcement. You know, we got him back from AEW. Hasn't really done a whole lot. Nico Vance even less. And so I don't know if this group's job was to get Izzy Dame over. I really think it's done that. If it was to re-ingratiate Shawn Spears, I don't really think it's done that. They're just sort of there in NXT to me. I don't think, and I'm probably wrong, you know, every Pokemon is someone's favorite, but I don't think anyone's buying tickets to NXT to see the culling. There's, you know, we've got Dark State doing the big group thing. We've got other creepy characters around the place and new characters cycling through. I don't know. They need a bit of a refresh. They got to do something. Or just cull them off.
At the very least, you could, like, build Spears up to have a few matches where he wins something, and then you could give him a one-off with Joe Hendry and then maybe move on. But it's like, they haven't really done much all with him since he made his return. And that's just sad.
Yeah, it's a weird one, right? It's a group built around, or seemingly built for, Izzy Dame. Someone going after the mid-card women's championship. Didn't hold it for that long in a reign either. I don't know. Shake it up a little bit. Talking about shaking it up, Tony D'Angelo, he returned. We thought maybe he was going to head up to the main roster. He returned, stared a few people down, looked at a few championships, declared his intention. You know, we know what his goal is. Just completely destroy Dark State. And he did a good first step towards it, taking out Dion Lennox at Vengeance there.
Yeah, I like Tony. So I'm very interested. This was a fight. This was not a match. This was a straight up fight that went from the back, from the parking lot, the parking lot actually did not hurt somebody. But yeah, it went from the parking lot through the building to the ring, and the match was pretty good. It was pretty good. It was just a straight up fight. That's the type of things that you like to see. You enjoyed this.
Yeah, I think it's as you say, like a brawly kind of match. I do enjoy. In this case, Tony D'Angelo, he did have a crowbar. I guess that counts as a friend. Able to sort of like 1v4 Dark State for a little while. And then end up picking up the win in the match. So I don't know, maybe he accomplished his goal of taking out Dark State. He aimed at Dion Lennox first up, which pretty big aim. And then fended them all off, successfully survived, won the match. What's really next, unless he wants to, 1v1 the other members, really. He took out the leader and he beat them without help.
Yeah, that again, that makes Dark Slate look pathetic. But then again, they already kind of were, and they kind of gotten passed by on being the big overarching group by the group from Evolve.
Yeah. It's, I think as well, when you look at Dark State, or say the tag title run, and Lennox has had a couple shots at the world title or at number one contenderships for the world title, you kind of got to start giving them some personalities or some characters that are not just Dark State Goon 1, Dark State Goon 2, and Dark State Goon 3. And so it's about time that this group as well has a bit of a change up. And whether that's spinning Dion Lennox off to go do something else, whether that's refurbishing the group, it feels like Tony D'Angelo 1v4ing them is kind of the end. I don't know how they can come back and pretend to be this big, scary group that's taken out people. You know, when they debuted, they were taking out NXT champions, top names. I think when I was looking at Obafemi's record, a couple of the losses he had were in, six-man, eight-man tag matches against Dark State. And now here they are. So who knows really what the future is for that group. And then switching to the main event, Joe Hendry had his NXT Championship on the line against Ricky Saints. We did say that there's this lurking Ethan Page in the background. He came out, unfortunately, didn't help his friend, ultimately, as Joe Hendry did retain to the championship.
Right decision. Hendry definitely needed the retain, and it gives us the... like roll over to getting Page versus Hendry for the NXT title, and it gives you an option, a realistic option, of adding Ricky Saints to that, maybe having a triple threat at Stand and Deliver.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate a triple threat. It does seem like I was talking about, the men in this division and who really could be the next person. Let's not hot potato it to Ricky Saints. Let's keep it on Hendry. Ethan Page is kind of next in line. If he's not going to go up to the main roster as a potential candidate to be an NXT champion, especially now that he has shedded his other championship. So we'll see how that works out. As you say, one-on-one, triple threat. Stand and Deliver is kind of that goal. Got to build what match we're going to see there.
Yeah. It's, I think I could definitely see like it being a triple threat, Hendry retaining the title and both losers split off to the main roster.
Yeah, for sure. Everybody's kind of, at that top of that, top of NXT, it's always like, they're almost ready. You could flick them over now, or do they need a little bit longer left in the oven? And we'll see what happens come WrestleMania season, come around April. Who's here? Who's gone up? While talking about the main roster, there was a number one contender for the Women's Intercontinental Championship decided, and it is Bayley. And so, what better excuse to play her theme than that?
Role model.
And you're welcome to Round of Ball on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. I'm Grady, he's Josh. Flicking from NXT, there is a AAA show this weekend coming up, their annual Raider Reyes show, and we're gonna take a quick look at a couple of these matches, especially when I look at the three that, according to Wikipedia, are definitely happening this weekend. They all have implications onto the main roster feuds. And I'm just going to open us up. Dominic Mysterio, he's already lost his Intercontinental Championship to Penta. He's been cursed by Danhausen. And here he is going up against Vikingo. It's a no DQ match. Vikingo has Omos and another friend with him. And if Vikingo wins, Rey Mysterio is out of AAA. If Mysterio wins, Vikingo can't challenge for the title. Where do we see this one going?
I'm going to say Dominic loses. And I think it'll be because Finn gets involved, because they just finally kicked Finn out of the group on Monday. So I think we see him at the event this weekend. Takes out Dominic, and Vikingo, regardless of how Mexican fans feel, will be the champion again.
Yeah, I think that is the most likely outcome. I guess I should have introduced it with the Judgment Day segment, right? So we can talk about that one for sure. They, as you exactly say, booted Finn Balor out of the group. Even McDonough did it. It was pretty unanimous against Finn. Because of things that he said to Dominic Mysterio, so it all lines up, it all makes a whole lot of sense. But what did you think of the kicking Finn out aspect?
Something we've been expecting for months and years at this point. But yeah, just seeing the seeing it happen was like, okay, cool. I think we got the chance to build something to really be really special for a mid-card match. We've got Dominic and Finn that I think are going to be able to tell a really cool story.
Yeah, for sure. And it makes the most sense they are going to head towards WrestleMania. I'm going to say that probably about a couple of matches on this AAA card. But this is the first step. Well, not the first step. This is the next step in that. Is taking that AAA championship away from Dom. Maybe we can do a AAA championship match at WrestleMania, but Dom is gonna be busy with Finn Balor for sure. Then we've also got the AAA Women's Championship. You don't see it all too often. Flamma as champion is issuing an open challenge. Now, I know there's a few people in AAA who could potentially answer this one, but I want to look at it as, who would you like to see from the WWE main roster come over to AAA, or who do you think is going to answer this open challenge? It's kind of an open-ended question, you know. Yep. There's a whole lot of people.
There's an entire list of NXT talent. There's an entire list of the main roster talent. There's an entire list of AAA talent, and then you also have to remember the fact that WWE and TNA are still working together.
That is true.
So you have an entire list of TNA talent that could show up for that. I'm going to say, because I think it would be the most interesting, and it would be like, it would be a situation where I have no idea who would win. I think I'd like to see Charlotte Flair wrestle in AAA.
Yeah. Definitely an option. I think that's what makes, you know, WWE for so long was such a closed environment. And even when you had Royal Rumbles, it was kind of like your surprises would be WWE legends coming back. And we're in a bit more of an open ecosystem. Obviously, there's divisions and certain companies don't work with other companies, but you just list it out, you know, NXT, WWE, AAA, TNA, there's so many options. So we're sitting here, you know, there's a one-off open challenge for the AAA Women's Championship, and the fact that our list of who could answer that is like 50 people deep is insane. Some of them, you know, more likely than others for sure. For me, I'm thinking who's potentially interacted with AAA before, but then they're not going to be as much of a surprise. You know, if you got your Lola Vice or you got your Natty coming in and making an appearance, they're not as surprising. If Charlotte Flair came here, you know, I would be surprised, I would say. Yeah. Or if we got a TNA talent, I'd be surprised. I wouldn't hate it. I'd just be surprised.
Yeah. Honestly, it'd probably be Chelsea Green, to be completely honest.
Yeah, if she's good to go, for sure. Been down again, interacted with AAA, wouldn't hate it. And then lastly for the matches happening this weekend, we have the Raider Reyes tournament final. You win a big sword and you become number one contender for the AAA Mega Championship. We're saying the title is going to Vikingo. Our members of the tournament final, we got La Parca, Santos Escobar, and both El Grande Americanos.
I think this is where we're in the middle of the bizarro world that is the difference between Mexico and America. Because in America, the El Grande Americanos are portrayed as one being the original being the good guy and the second one being the bad guy. Well, in Mexico, it's the complete opposite. And as much as I love La Parca, the whole gimmick, the fact that it goes back all the way back to WCW and stuff, even if it's not the original La Parca, I'd love that. So I would love to see that, but I don't think that's the case. I don't care about Santo Escobar. For me, this is all about the El Grande Americanos. And I think if we agree that we think that Kino was winning the title, and there's a fairly good chance he does, you almost have to have the second El Grande Americano, the Ludwig Kaiser version, win this match.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm fully behind you. If Vikingo, the way that he has been received, with the hate, with the booing, it was basically, you know, Dominic Mysterio isn't, you know, that hated in AAA. So if you take Vikingo, who's probably the man getting booed the loudest right now in AAA, and you put him up against Kaiser Americano, the man getting cheered the loudest in AAA, it's gonna make money. And I think that's the AAA Mega Championship match that we want to see. Maybe they didn't want to transfer, you know, from Dom to Kaiser Americano. Maybe it doesn't work, doesn't line up with the main roster storylines. So transitioning through Vikingo, giving him another month, doesn't hurt the championship, doesn't hurt Vikingo. I do want to mention on Raw, very similarly, I don't know how Danhausen is affecting AAA so much. He's also gone and cursed the original El Grande Americano. And that meant that Gable Americano couldn't make it out to his scheduled match against Penta for the Intercontinental Championship, and instead it was Kaiser Americano, who still couldn't pick up the win, but, you know, put on a good showing with Penta. On a darn
good match with Penta, though.
Yeah, and to put another thread through there, Penta is presenting the sword at Raider of Reyes to the winner of that match, so maybe we can spin it back to that.
Yeah, I really think that there is going, I think we're at WrestleMania, we are going to have a Mask versus Mask match. I really think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be the original El Grande Americano versus El Grande Americano 2. Loser loses the mask. And I think that's how we get Chad Gable back.
It makes a whole lot of sense. I support it. I support Ludwig Americano winning. You know, when I look at this, the main roster doesn't need, or WWE doesn't need, an El Grande Americano now. And AAA have received it so well, I'm happy with it becoming a AAA character. Gable's amazing on his own. Ludwig's run with it.
Yeah, Ludwig took the ball and ran. And I think that's also something to say about the match on Raw, was that the way that Elgar and Americano like slid in after the cursing and stuff, and the original couldn't do it, is so on brand for the character, considering the way he did it to begin with becoming the character. That it just, I just, anything that Ludwig Kaiser has done with this character has just been amazing, and it's something that he can actually get years and years out of if they want to do it. It's not that, I have no problem with them booking a mass versus mass match and have Chad Gable lose it.
100%. And we've talked so much about NXT and so much about AAA. We have 30 seconds to talk about the fact that we have a brand new WWE champion in Cody Rhodes.
Yep. Which means we are getting the match we have wanted for 3 years, but did not get until now. And that is Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes.
It is not where I thought we were going this WrestleMania season.
It may not still be the way where you're going. We'll have to wait and see. Our favorite thing is saying.
Yeah. Well, we will. We will wait and see. And maybe next week when we talk to you, there'll be more SmackDown news around this championship. And maybe we'll feel smart that we didn't mention the match too much this week, because it'll all be overridden. It is a wacky WrestleMania season, but that is all we have time for. It's been great talking to you.
Bye.
You can visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/WrestlingRNDUp, our Twitter page, twitter.com/WrestlingRNDUp, or our YouTube page, youtube.com/WrestlingRNDUp, and we will catch you next week. Got no time to waste. Tonight's the big go. Strike quick but creep slow. The competition is absent the moment that we show. Countdown from 3, go. Press X to reload. Deadly still try to topple the kingdom that we own. Outnumbered but outgunning. We're fearless and crowd stunning. Never win ever on record. There's the one to protect you. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.